Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We are tracking the chance for a winter remix tomorrow morning. This is a look at future casts. You can see the blue on the screen there. That's the rain snow mix we are keeping an eye on right now. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione joins us now to talk more about the timing of the system. And Anthony, I don't want to rush past this. We're talking about snow.
We certainly have been paying very close attention here, Julian, to these models for tomorrow morning. What the majority of them are showing at this point is the potential for a rain-snow mix starting at about 7 to 8 a.m. tomorrow morning and then continuing, especially for our northern counties, up until just after lunchtime, let's say about 2 to 3 p.m. or so. Mainly northwest, though, this is not an everyone-talking rain-snow mix tomorrow, but I just want to make you aware that that chance is certainly there for our northern counties as well. No accumulation expected. We're seeing ground temperatures right now that are still far too warm for anything to stick. So that's not necessarily going to be a big issue for us. Everyone, though, talking a chilly rain here throughout the day, potentially becoming a little bit more scattered into the afternoon. Here is Futurecast. So 5 a.m. on our Sunday morning, we're talking just isolated showers starting to push in for most of us. We bump this ahead later on in the morning. There would be some heavier pockets of rain by about 8 a.m. or so. Notice the blue and the pink back to the west. That would be kind of that wintry mix, that snow potential. That starts to get a little bit closer, and what Futurecast is not showing here, I do think that chance is there for it to extend a little bit further toward, let's say, the city of Raleigh. The triangle to the north is going to be the best chance here for any of that wintry mix. We head later on in the day, though, heavy rainfall here likely, and then it starts to thin out a little bit into the afternoon. That wintry mix potential will really be confined to, like I said, that 7 a.m. or so up until about 3 p.m. time frame, Julian. So certainly an important forecast here. We have a lot to talk about beyond this. We'll go over the future cast timing here, the latest models once again in just a little bit, and show you when this storm system moves out coming up here in a few.
We are so grateful you are watching it for us. Thank you, Anthony. Well, you can keep an eye on the WRAL weather app throughout the morning. You can follow the latest updates on weather in your area. It's free to download on Google Play and the Apple App Store. It's a great app to have. Now, let's go to some breaking news. Police say they are investigating a deadly crash involving a bicyclist in Fuquay, Varina. This happened around 2:45 this afternoon at the intersection of North Main Street, which is also called Highway 401 and Lake Wheeler Road. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live at the scene with more. Chelsea.
Yeah, Julian, more than 3 hours later, this intersection here at Lake Wheeler Road and North Main Street or Highway 401 still closed as investigators right now, we understand, are wrapping up this scene. Around 2:45 this afternoon, we understand that a bike rider was traveling on this road and collided with a red Jeep. That Jeep was just towed off. The person that was riding that bicycle is dead tonight. No word yet on the condition of the driver of that red Jeep. Let's show you some of the video from earlier today. It appears that the red Jeep shown here with a shattered windshield may have hit that biker. As you can see, it then crashed into the median. Crime scene investigators, Fuquay Varina Police, the medical examiner and fire crews, they've been on the scene now for going on 3.5 hours processing this accident. Traffic also snarled here. It's had to be diverted. The incident snarling traffic here for hours, and it looks like here just any minute they plan to reopen the scene. I just got off the phone with Chief Brandon Medina of the Fuquay Varina Police Department. He says right now they're not releasing the names of those involved. They're in the process of notifying next of kin. No word yet, too, on if the driver of that Jeep could face charges. We'll keep you posted.
Still a lot of questions out there. Chelsea Donovan reporting live for us tonight at Fuquay Varina. Thank you. Massive traffic backups on I-40 in Johnson County this afternoon after a crash that sent 4 people to the hospital, including a 1-year-old. This is video from the scene near NC-42. For nearly an hour, the interstate was shut down heading eastbound. Investigators say the injuries are not life-threatening. Troopers say the debris in the roadway caused the crash. The scene is now clear. We're still trying to learn more about a house fire in Irwin. Harnett County Sheriff's Office says the fire started just after midnight. It happened on 8th Street in Irwin. We're still waiting to hear back from investigators if anyone was hurt or the condition of the home. All right, let's go to some more breaking news. A gas leak in Chapel Hill caused part of West Franklin Street to close, and police say it will remain partly closed well into the night. This picture was posted on Twitter by Chapel Hill Fire. Gas was still leaking from the scene until just a few minutes ago when crews managed to shut it off. One lane of traffic should open shortly, we're told. Firefighters closed Franklin Street to Church Street. Now, crews have to dig under the street to fix this problem. Businesses in the 200 block are closed right now. A teacher at Rocky Mount High School faces charges after police investigated claims of an inappropriate contact between him and two students. Marcus Johnson from Wilson was charged with two counts of sexual activity with the student and two counts of taking indecent liberties with the student. The students are both 17 years old, according to police. Police are working with the school and the district's attorney's office to get more information. At last report, Johnson was in jail under a $10,000 bond. The murder of a Durham mother brought grieving family members and friends together today. The crowd showed up at Solite Park in Durham in honor of 29-year-old Nicole Bullock. Earlier this month, police found Bullock's body at a Durham hotel. Detectives later arrested and charged Rodney Crawford with her murder. Now, Crawford has a history of abuse against Bullock. She also had an active restraining order against him.
She's a loving, wonderful person. As you can see, she was well-loved. She loved her children, all five of them. She was a single mom. She didn't deserve to die the way she did. It's tragic. I feel like the system just failed her. It failed her boys.
This is just so heartbreaking. Bullock leaves behind five children. As for Crawford, he's currently being held in jail under no bond. We'll have more on this story later tonight at 10. Well, Raleigh was looking a little bit green this morning. Did you see it? The annual St. Patrick's Day parade filled the streets with Irish spirit. But alongside the fun, there were some serious new changes to keep everyone safe. WRAL's Eric Miller has the story.
Forget the City of Oaks. Saturday morning, Raleigh looked more like the Emerald City. From drummers to dancers, even a dog or two.
Good boy.
What is a parade without the Irish Wolfhounds in it?
The 39th annual St. Patrick's Day parade packed hundreds into downtown Raleigh.
It was awesome. We loved every bit of it, all the way down to the dog loved it.
But amid the joy, tense preparation. The parade is among the first in the city since Raleigh's Christmas parade, which took a tragic turn when 11-year-old Haley Brooks was hit and killed by a runaway truck. But changes made since Christmas helped keep this parade in lockstep.
Everything seemed perfectly safe. I was comfortable as a mom.
Drivers in Raleigh parades now have to be 21 and up and are allowed just one passenger over the age of 18. All children have to be supervised, and parade vehicles have to be up to date with licenses, registrations, and insurance.
I think everyone complied. It looked like it was well managed.
According to Raleigh police, the day went off without a hitch, with no major incidents. The luck of the Irish shining down on Raleigh.
So, yeah, it's been a great day.
Eric Miller, WRAL News.
It's championship day at the ACC tournament, and one team from North Carolina still has a chance to take home that top prize. Duke takes on Virginia in about 2.5 hours. WRAL's Brett Neese is live at the Greensboro Coliseum, checking in with fans ahead of the title game. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Julianne. Duke fans, they are ecstatic that their team is back in the ACC championship for the second straight year. Of course, they lost last year to Virginia Tech. Tonight, they'll play Virginia. It's a team that they lost to in overtime just 4 weeks ago. But I've met a lot of fans over the last few days, and one of them has been to 57 of these tournaments.
Far is not an ordinary basketball fan.
It's great. We love basketball.
The West Virginia native loves the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, and he's been to nearly 60 ACC tournaments.
And it's evolved. It's quite different than the past. You know, they started selling tickets online.
After traveling to last year's tournament in Brooklyn, says he's happy the tournament is back in the state he now calls home.
Yeah, it's nothing like Greensboro and the ACC. I know it's going to move around some, but it's going to be back in Greensboro.
Farr says it doesn't matter where ACC basketball fans take in this tournament. He plans to continue to be amongst crowds like this one.
We're not going to miss it. Every year, next year it goes to Washington, so we'll be up in Washington, we hope.
Now, tip-off tonight is at 8:30, and we're going to find out if Duke and the Blue Devils, first-year head coach John Shire, can secure the program's 22nd ACC championship. Coming up in sports with Casey Hintz, we have our reporters here, Pat Welter, and we also have our other sports anchor, Chris Lee. They're going to break down this entire matchup for you. A big preview coming up in just a few minutes. Julian, it's going to be a great night of basketball.
And how cool is that? Far has been to 57 ACC tournaments, keeping that tradition going. Brett Neese reporting live in Greensboro tonight. Thank you. Look at this. Snakes, lizards, and frogs. Oh, my. Coming up, we take you to the slimiest and scaliest day at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. And Fayetteville's police chief is literally going over the edge. Coming up, how much money was raised during the event and where you can go to still donate.
Do you have trouble hearing conversations? Are you constantly asking loved ones to repeat themselves? Do you miss out on discussions or talking with friends? Then you would benefit from Nano hearing aids. Don't waste thousands of dollars on expensive hearing aids or settle with the frustration of cheap amplifiers. Right now, you can get two revolutionary Nano CIC recharge hearing aids, regularly $794 for just $297, or opt in to our payment plan of four easy payments.
I love how affordable the Nano hearing aids are. Compared to some hearing aids, they're as much as $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The CIC Recharge is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. It has rechargeable technology that many customers say is superior to more expensive models.
Well, these Nano hearing aids are fantastic. They're affordable, they're easy to fit into the ear. And what really impressed me is I'm hearing things I haven't heard in years.
Our friendly operators are standing by to take your order.
800-706-9652.
The CIC Recharge offers superior noise reduction and a tiny in-the-ear canal design that is nearly invisible. Best of all, they are incredibly affordable. And if you call now, we'll add a portable charging case and ship your order absolutely free.
I love how they feel. They're very light. I don't even know they're there.
You know, I've used other hearing aids before that were bulky. These are light and easy to use, too.
Stop missing out on important conversations or wasting thousands of dollars on expensive hearing aids. Order now and you'll get two CIC Recharge hearing aids and a portable charging case for just $297. Or opt into our easy payment plan. And your order ships free. Supplies are limited, so don't delay. Better hearing is just a phone call away.
800-706-9652. Again, that's 800-706-9652.
There is a road laid out for me.
First night here, but Amy seems cool.
Leading down to the river. I am blind, but I need not see.
What do you think?
I know this road is there for me. If I'm really free, take me down to the river and walk.
You're watching Next Generation Television, WNGT.
The most experienced severe weather team.
All of West Durham now is under level 2 risk for severe weather.
Is covering your neighborhood with a certified accurate forecast. Only on WRAL News. That's coverage you can count on.
WRAL Mornings. Weatherproof your plans with confidence.
Welcome back. I know, you want to touch this, right? Celebration of the scaly and slimy today at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. That's because it was Reptile and Amphibian Day. Visitors of all ages learned about these cold-blooded vertebrates through crafts, lectures, and close encounters. The theme of this year's event was vipers, venomous snakes with hinge fangs. Organizers say snakes are often misunderstood and mistreated, and they're an important part of the ecosystem. They control pests like rats and mice.
I want everybody to walk out here having heard a conservation message, and I want them to be planning on taking an action to help herps in the wild.
Oh, I know one of my sons is so sad he missed this. Now, by the way, the snakes are not slimy. Visitors brave enough to touch them today found out they have smooth, dry scales. Amphibians like frogs and salamanders, however, can be a little slimy at times. Fayetteville Police Chief Braden went over the edge today. I mean, literally, look at this. This was a fundraiser for the United Way of Cumberland County. Chief Braden raised more than $1,000 to participate. He rappelled down the Cape Fear Valley Health's Medical Arts Center on Robeson Street. You can still donate a littleovertheedge.com events right now to donate. All right, Anthony, let's talk about this rain and snow mix tomorrow morning. We're heading out for church, and I know a lot of eyes are paying attention to this.
Yeah, it's certainly an important forecast. Yeah, I know all of us have plans here as we head into tomorrow, but it's certainly, Julian, across the board. Tomorrow is just not looking like the nicest day forecast-wise, but we've been watching here the trend with some of these models over the past couple of hours for that rain-snow potential tomorrow morning. And so that's kind of what I want to start with here in just a second, aside from showing you where this system is currently. Notice the rainfall that's in places like Nashville. We've seen the cloud cover kind of streaming in our direction today, and that's why we're seeing actually a decent amount of cloud cover out there right now. We head here into tonight and tomorrow morning. Here is Futurecast. So we are not looking at rainfall arriving until probably, let's say, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. or so. I think a few stray showers. The heaviest coverage comes in probably by about 8 or so. I'm going to freeze this right here as we head to about 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. This right here would be a pretty heavy batch of that rainfall. I think all of us, again, are going to be talking chilly rain. But you notice where we start to get that blue and that pink showing up. The blue would be all snow. The pink is kind of that transition zone, that rain-snow mix. And so this is mainly going to be an event for our northern counties. But some of that could get a little bit closer here. Let's say from the triangle to the north. That's going to be where I think that chance is there for a rain-snow mix. Let's say 8 a.m. till about 3 p.m. or so. So throughout the day tomorrow, we could see that. Our southern areas will not see any of that, I don't think, at this point. So we'll continue to watch and see what they do, but we're not going to see that rain snow mix to the south. It's mainly to the north. Scattered showers by the afternoon. So we will see some of this rain thinning out just a little bit tomorrow afternoon. I still would keep the umbrella handy because it's just going to be kind of damp and not necessarily a nice day in that regard. Here is 10, 11 o'clock tomorrow night. The rain is starting to push out, but we'll still see a few showers hanging on. Monday morning at this point, though, is looking a lot better. We're not talking rainfall to start our week. Here's a pretty good summary for you. So keep the rain gear handy all day long tomorrow. There's that light wintry mix here, especially to the north tomorrow morning up until early afternoon. Then it transitions here to all rain by late tomorrow afternoon and into the evening. Futurecast rainfall wise is showing probably for most of us about, let's say, 3/4 of an inch or so. It's a little bit overdone, I think, with the rainfall here in a place like Raleigh, but 3/4 of an inch is a pretty good bet for most of us. So it's going to be a fairly impactful system in that regard, and certainly with that rain snow mix tomorrow morning. So with that said, here's where we sit out there this evening. Notice the clouds have started to push in. We've noticed those kind of all evening, that high level cloud cover that will continue to increase as we head into tonight. Temperatures at the moment are not too bad. We're at 51 here in Raleigh, 49 in Goldsboro, 51 in Rocky Mount. Tomorrow, though, we're going to be waking up with temperatures in the upper 30s. We're still cold and dry tonight. 37 there in Raleigh. Watch what happens for our high temperature tomorrow. Our high temperature on the day, we only make it to the low 40s tomorrow afternoon. It is just going to be a chilly, rainy day here for most of us throughout our entire Sunday. There is a bit of a rebound, though, into Monday. So that's good news. We're at 58 on Monday. By the way, don't forget that clock, the time change here tonight, the spring forward. We're at 52 on Tuesday. Lots of sunshine there, Julian, into next week. And St. Patrick's Day, too, is looking pretty nice at 74 degrees. So that's good, but getting through the mess tomorrow.
We will. And great reminder to spring forward as well. I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, but it is that time of year.
Oh, I know we lose that hour of sleep, but yep, it happens.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Anthony. Casey, it seems like Duke is not losing anything right now.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, you want to be playing your best basketball at the right time, and that's exactly what the Blue Devils are doing. Coming up, Chris Lee and Pat Welter will join us live from Greensboro Coliseum to tell us how they've come together to get to this ACC title game. Plus, high school state basketball championships going on today. We've got highlights and first-time winners next.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Right now at 4:30 on WRAL, it was a historic night of the 95th Annual Academy Awards. We have the key moments that have people talking this morning, including how Oscars made history.
And the round of rain that moved through for our weekend now pushing out of here. Coming up, I'll explain when we can see fog develop. Plus, the U.S. government is taking steps to stop a potential crisis after the historic failure of a major bank. The actions being taken by Federal Reserve officials today. It is 4:30 on your Monday morning. Good morning, everyone. Hope you're awake and happy to have you with us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Chris Lovinggood. And for Jeff Hogan this morning, I went outside. I had to switch coats. I did not look at my forecast closely enough, but it's okay. We're going to get through it. Meteorologist Peter Shearwood is getting you started today with some of the rain that's still kind of pushing out towards the east, it looks like.
It's a type of mist and drizzle that is on the move for this morning, still around the triangle. We're seeing it here on our dual Doppler 5000. You can see where we have those faint shadings popping up. We have a batch of rain that is moving out of Wilson County at the moment, and that's going to be the trend. Showers, mist, and drizzle will continue to push towards the east. And throughout the rest of the morning, we're going to watch the potential for fog development. Likely to see that after 7 o'clock. We are going to watch our areas for the potential for patchy fog. And then once we head into the 12 o'clock hour, notice all of that is going to be clearing out. We are going to see sunshine as we head into the afternoon. And temperatures are going to be so much warmer than where we were yesterday. As we take a live look at North Hills this morning, all is quiet, still dealing with some mist in that area. It's 41 degrees out there in the Triangle and 36 degrees out there in Roxborough. We are expecting our temperatures to gradually climb into the 50s today. Those clouds around early this morning will give way to some sunshine, and we're looking at a high temperature of 57. Now, temperatures are going to drop tonight. Coming up, I'm going to explain how low our numbers will get. We have freeze warnings and freeze watches in effect for our region as we head into tonight leading into tomorrow.
Peta, thank you. Hollywood's biggest night turned out to be an even bigger night for the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. The sci-fi action film won 7 Oscars at last night's awards ceremony. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with some key moments you may have missed if you went to bed early. Ken.
You know, Renee, first off, host Jimmy Kimmel is getting rave reviews. Of course, he didn't waste any time making jokes about having a drama-free Oscar ceremony, making reference to Will Smith and Chris Rock from last year. But this year, people are talking about the night that belonged to Asian American actors and the recognition received during the Oscars. One acceptance speech people will be talking about this morning is the one given by Ke-Huy Quan, who won Best Supporting Actor for his role in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I started on a boat. I spent a year in a refugee camp. And somehow I ended up here on Hollywood's biggest stage. They say stories like this only happen in the movies.
Well, people reaching for the tissues after that acceptance speech, I can tell you that. Now, if you recall, Quan made his film debut as a little boy in the Indiana Jones movie, Temple of Doom. And during that speech, he said to his mom directly, "Mom, I just won an Oscar." She was 84 years old at home watching. Well, coming up right here, the other big storyline people are talking about this morning, Quan's co-star Michelle Yeoh, her groundbreaking win and what her message was to her fellow actresses in Hollywood.
All right, thank you, Ken. We have some breaking news that we're following this morning. A man is seriously hurt after being hit by a car in Raleigh, and that happened around 2 o'clock this morning on Coleman Street. Now, the man who was hit was taken to the hospital, but police have not said if the driver will face charges with this.
A 12-year-old girl is in the hospital with life-threatening injuries after shooting in the middle of the day in Durham. The shooting happened on West Enterprise Street. Police say the girl ran to a vacant lot where she collapsed. Her parents then took her to the hospital. Hours later, police taped off the intersection of Scout Drive and Lodge Street and searched a house there. They say the scenes are connected. Data from police show this is the 8th juvenile to be shot in Durham this year. We explored some aspects of gun violence in Durham with our WRL documentary unit. You can watch Durham Under Fire right now on our WRL Docs YouTube page.
New this morning, we're learning more about Silicon Valley Bank before it collapsed last week. A report says employees received annual bonuses just hours before federal regulators seized the company. Last Thursday and Friday, shares in the bank dropped by around 60% each day. Investors withdrew their money, leading to the bank's collapse. Now, after that collapse, the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve will have a closed-door meeting today. The Fed announced the meeting is to, quote, review and determine the advance and discount rates to be charged by the Federal Reserve banks. SVB is the largest U.S. bank failure since the financial crisis back in 2008.
We're expecting to see Governor Roy Cooper's state budget proposal this week. Last week, he talked about his $1 billion plan to address the state's mental health and substance abuse needs. His budget proposal is also expected to include double-digit raises for teachers and more funding for broadband expansion. The House is expected to complete its budget by the first week of April. The Senate is expected to complete its version in May.
People in Northern California are bracing for another round of severe weather. Millions of people are under flood watches as another atmospheric river threatens the area. That storm is expected to bring heavy rain and snow to northern and central parts of the state. And authorities fear that additional water could cause more flooding and power outages.
Given the close proximity of this atmospheric river to the last one that we just received a few days ago, The ground is incredibly saturated, as are the trees. It will not take much to knock down trees and cause power outages.
Many communities are still recovering from an atmospheric river that hit the state Friday. Rising water flooded homes and businesses, prompting widespread evacuation orders over the weekend. And last week, President Biden approved an emergency declaration to help out with California's recovery efforts.
The NCAA tournament is set, and both Duke and NC State will experience March Madness. Unfortunately for Tar Heel fans, the UNC men's team will not. Carolina is the first team to be ranked preseason number one and not make the tournament since expanded to the field of 64 in 1985. UNC turned down an invitation to the NIT, so their season is over. The Blue Devils are fresh from their ACC championship win Saturday night. The Wolfpack fell to Clemson in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. Number 5 seed Duke will play number 12 Oral Roberts on Thursday in Orlando. And number 11 NC State will play the 6 seed Creighton on Friday in Denver.
And all three ACC teams from the Triangle will be part of the NCAA's women's tournament. Duke is a 3 seed in the tournament, and the Blue Devils will host first and second round games at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Their first game will be against 14 seed Iona on Saturday. UNC got a 6 seed in the tournament, and the Tar Heels will open play Saturday in Columbus against the winner of a play-in game between Purdue and St. John's. And NC State is a 7 seed. Wolfpack will play 10 seed Princeton in the first round on Friday in Salt Lake City.
It is 4:37. More news to come. Donald Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen will testify before a grand jury today. The details he's expected to give about hush money payments he made on behalf of the former president.
And at least 8 people are dead and more are missing after 2 migrant smuggling boats capsized off the coast of San Diego. Hear what we're learning from authorities about possible survivors.
And let's take a live look in downtown Raleigh. A cloudy start this morning. Meteorologist Peter Shearwood breaks down what we can expect weather-wise for the week. Stay with us.
From the WRAL Severe Weather Center, North Carolina's most experienced team of meteorologists.
Streets are wet this morning as we take a live look at Apex. Heading out the door, heading to work at this hour, you're still going to run into a few areas of mist and drizzle, but that is on the way out. We have temperatures that are on the cool side for this morning, currently 41 degrees in the Triangle and 36 degrees out there in Roxborough. We have temperatures that are going to warm up into the 50s today. It is going to be below normal for this time of the year by the afternoon, but we're heading to 57 degrees today. A big difference from what we were dealing with yesterday. All that rain is moving out and we are going to see sunshine move in. Coming up, I'm going to explain how cold we'll get tonight and the areas under a freeze warning.
Breaking news in the Live Center. A minor pileup happening on Navajo Drive. This is right off of 440. Taking a look right here, we have new video to show you what that looked like from WRAL for photojournalist Charles Bradley. You can see right there the damage to one of those vehicles. We are right now looking at least 3 vehicles that have been involved in this pileup, possibly 4 from what I can see. We're trying to get information confirmed, and once we get that, we'll make sure to pass that along. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Naya. A lot of damage on that vehicle there. At least 7 people remain missing after 2 boats capsized off the coast of San Diego this weekend, and 8 people are confirmed dead in what police say was a migrant smuggling operation. The boats capsized off Black's Beach near San Diego during heavy fog Saturday night. A woman who was on one of the boats says 8 people made it to shore, but 15 people on the other boat, they're unaccounted for. People who live nearby say it's not uncommon to see boats like this washed up on shore.
Look, I get the big picture. I get the laws. I get the need for boards. I get all that. But good God, on a humanitarian basis, that's a tough trip. Tough on, you know, on people just trying to do better.
Authorities say survivors may have escaped on land. The Coast Guard has called off the search for more victims.
We're working to learn more about what led to a shooting in Raleigh. This happened just after 1 Sunday morning in the area of Glasscock Street and North King Charles Road. The WRL Breaking News Tracker got there to find the intersection closed. Crime scene tape surrounded the block. There is limited information on what we know about the shooting, but we'll bring you updates as soon as we get them.
Two major voting rights cases are getting a controversial do-over this week, and they could have major effects for future elections. Republicans lost the cases last year when the state Supreme Court had a Democratic majority. Well, now the court has mostly Republicans. And if the court reverses the decisions, voters could be required to show IDs when they cast ballots in the 2024 election. And that could favor GOP candidates in this swing state. Lawmakers could also have more power to gerrymander their own districts and the state's 14 congressional seats.
Donald Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, will testify today before a New York grand jury investigating hush money payments he arranged and made for the former president. Cohen's testimony is coming at a critical time as the Manhattan District Attorney's Office is deciding on whether to seek charges against Trump. He's likely to talk about whatever involvement Trump may have had in those payments made during his 2016 presidential campaign to two women with whom Trump allegedly had affairs.
Tourism and mining activities were stopped yesterday after Indonesia's Merapi volcano erupted. And that volcano sits on the island of Java. It erupted Saturday, blocking out the sun and blanketing some villages with ash. But no deaths have been reported.
Business is back to normal at a Vermont airport today after flights were grounded for several hours because of a threat. A United Airlines flight from Newark was held on the tarmac at Burlington International Airport for several hours yesterday. Officials say about 20 minutes before the plane was due to land, a passenger found a note in the bathroom saying there was a bomb on board. A bomb squad did not find anything unusual or suspicious. No one was hurt.
We have learned more about another case of three women going missing in Mexico. Authorities say the women from Texas crossed into the country on February 24th to sell clothes at a flea market. Now, family members say they haven't heard from them. The state police and the FBI are now investigating. The disappearance of these women comes a week after members of a cartel reportedly kidnapped four Americans, killing two of them.
Tonight, the town of Pittsburgh could establish a firm set of rules about a work-from-home policy as the community adapts to the impact of the pandemic. The Board of Commissioners will consider an official work-from-home and hybrid schedule for town staff at its 7 p.m. meeting. Officials say many employees have already been working on altered schedules since the pandemic started. The move comes as many local businesses try to bring employees back to the office.
All right, meteorologist Peter Sherwood right now with your weather forecast to start you off right there. So I see a little activity right there on the satellite. Point us a little bit what's going on there, Peter, today.
All right, so the main feature that we're worried about is this area of low pressure that's moving out of the state of North Carolina. That's good because it's going to bring with it all that mist and drizzle that's still out there for this morning. Light showers are heading out of our viewing area, so that's good. We expect the mist and drizzle to gradually clear out by the time we head into the 7 o'clock hour, and then areas of fog will develop. Looking live right now at Apex, you can see the streets are wet. Out the door, walking the dog this morning, I'll say grab the hoodie just because of that light mist that we're seeing. But we do anticipate fog to develop for the second half of the morning. And then by lunchtime, we should see a decent amount of sunshine move in across the west. And that will filter in across the viewing area throughout the day. Likely to see a beautiful day ahead with temperatures warming up. So if you do have any outdoor plans today, want to get outside, go for a walk. Today's a good day to do so. We have our temperatures that are going to warm up. Remember, yesterday we were stuck in the 30s and the lower 40s. We are going to see the 40s transition into the 50s for this afternoon. By 12 o'clock, we're at 52 degrees and then 57 for our afternoon high with sunshine moving in. As we check out what we're expecting tonight, we have a freeze warning in effect for all these areas outlined in purple, including Wake County and Harnett, or Lee County right there. And we have a freeze watch in effect for Sampson County and Harnett County. Now, keep in mind, temperatures tonight are going to plummet. We'll have mostly clear skies around, light winds. That's the combination to see chilly conditions, and that's going to happen. We're down to 31 degrees tonight, and then tomorrow night, 30 degrees, and then 32 on Thursday night. If you do have any crops that you have to tend to, just remember you want to make sure that those are protected during the cold that we're expecting. We'll be in the 50s today, upper 50s, and then tomorrow, lower 50s by the afternoon. Cold mornings ahead before temperatures warm up into the 70s for St. Patrick's Day. Likely to see a chance of rain move in again for Friday leading into Saturday, but conditions will be drier for the second half of the weekend. It's not too early to talk about the weekend, and we're expecting those highs in the 60s and the 50s then.
Never too early to start talking about the weekend. All right, thanks, Peter. Well, today marks 10 years since Pope Francis became head of the Catholic Church. We have details on the events planned to celebrate the anniversary.
Plus, Bojangles is breaking into the booze industry. When you can get your hands on their new hard iced tea.
A Clayton man is recovering after a massive stroke. His wife asked friends on Facebook to send him a birthday card to lift his spirits. And as WREL's Julian Grace explains, the expectations were far exceeded.
Brian and Colleen Ahern have been married for 44 years. And to celebrate, they headed out on a 10-day cruise in November. But on day two, Brian had a massive stroke.
It was just such a nightmare, Julian. We were out in the middle of the ocean. We weren't reaching our port until 8 o'clock the next morning, which was St. Thomas. So they weren't able to really do anything for the stroke on the ship. They had an ambulance waiting for us when we arrived in St. Thomas.
It's estimated that about 795,000 people in the U.S. have a stroke a year. The hospital stays and rehabilitation process is never easy.
The recovery is slow, but he's getting there. He's starting to make some progress. He attends speech therapy twice a week.
On top of that, Brian was turning 70. Colleen still wanted to find a way to celebrate, so she took to social media. She asked for people to send Brian a birthday card. Colleen hoped for about 70 cards. Instead, Brian received more than 150.
Reaction when the cards came in?
My initial reaction, it was every day the mailbox was just getting fuller and fuller and fuller. I was just overwhelmed. I was so excited.
That was Julian Grace with that story. And Brian also received cards from students as well. And about 20 students from Mrs. Phillips' class in Smithfield sent cards with personal messages to him. This shows you that you're never alone. Just ask for help.
A wonderful takeaway. Pope Francis is holding a special mass today to mark 10 years since he became head of the Catholic Church. Francis made history in 2013 when he became the first pope from Latin America. He succeeded Pope Benedict XVI, who was the first pope in six centuries to resign from the position. Today's mass is happening in the chapel of the Vatican's Santa Marta Hotel, where Pope Francis has lived since becoming pope.
A beloved tradition happened in Chicago over the weekend. The Chicago River was dyed green in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Two boats began the process by weaving their way down the river, dropping green dye into the water. And just so you know, the dye used is typically a type of vegetable dye and has been called completely non-toxic by the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. The river only stayed green for only about 5 hours, but still, it looks cool. Every single year they do that.
And in Savannah, Georgia, rain didn't stop the crowd from coming out for the annual greening of the fountain in Forsyth Park. Organizers say the tradition kicks off St. Patrick's Day festivities in the city. And for people in Savannah that attend every year, it feels like home.
Reminds you of your childhood, so there's something special about this event, specifically the normality of it. Like Father O'Brien is already pulled up. Like there's things that always happen here every year. And you look forward to it. You look for it.
Normalcy and tradition. Savannah St. Patrick's Day Parade is coming up this Friday. Fun fact, Savannah's St. Patty's Day Parade is the second largest in the U.S. behind New York City.
All right, so starting today, you can get your hands on Bojangles Sweet Tea with a little kick to it. Bojangles Hard Sweet Tea hits store shelves today. It's a partnership between the fast food chain and Appalachian Mountain Brewery out of Boone. You won't be able to get it at Bojangles, though. It'll be available at grocery stores and convenience stores all across the Carolinas, and I'm sure they're going to be pretty busy selling those.
So nothing through the drive-thru, got to make an extra stop. It's what everyone is talking about this morning. The Oscars coming up. Kent Smith has some of the moments you need to see, including historic wins.
And we want to get you a live look in Apex this morning. It's going to be a mild day today, but we already have a frost advisory out for overnight. Meteorologist Peter Sherwood will tell us about the low temperatures, and we'll drop a little bit more in just a few minutes.